for Sunday, December the 5th.
Hello, and welcome to the weekend summary edition of Slashdot Review.
My name is Andy McCaskey.
And I'm Annette Thompson, joining you from Washington, D.C.
This is a 10-minute summary of highlights of contributions this past weekend to Slashdot. Today's GarageBand.com artist is Stone Melodies from Ottawa. Now let's see what's in the summary.
Did you know you can now build an entire house out of recycled cardboard? Oostwis writes, for a low cost and environmentally friendly option to a new house, Australian architects Stutchbury and Pop have created a house out of recycled cardboard, Velcro, nylon wing nuts, and tape. The house can be built in 6 hours by two people and can be transported in a light commercial vehicle. Also, most of the house is recyclable. Viva homeownership!
Weather data is now available in XML. Wombatmobile writes to Slashdot that Wired is reporting the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration this week began providing weather data in an open-access XML format. Previously, the data was technically available to the public, but in a format that's not easily deciphered. How will the free and easy availability of valuable data like this in XML affect the development of the web? One example is Tom Grove's SVG Weather, Scalable Vector Graphics. This type of visualization of XML data is about to fall within easy reach with nothing more than a text editor required as part of an authoring tool. From March 2005, SVG becomes a part of the standard Mozilla Firefox standards are supposed to work. What more could you hope to find?
A Chinese PC maker is looking to buy IBM's PC business. iDrill writes, according to the New York Times, China's largest PC maker is reportedly in talks to buy IBM's PC business. Lenovo, formerly known as Legend, is the leading PC maker in Asia outside Japan. Lenovo sells primarily low-cost PCs. Acquiring IBM's business would help them raise their brand recognition and status among more affluent, brand-conscious consumers.
Some good science going on in Antarctica. Richard writes that just to prove that science is cool, Tanya, the editor of Nerdling Zine, has traveled to Antarctica just to publish some interesting reading material on her blog. Apparently there to calibrate a bunch of physics equipment, she appears to spend most of her time marveling at icebergs and penguins, abseiling around the continent, and giving us explicit details of the everyday ordinary stuff. Advanced technology in an extreme environment. Good stuff.
Cowboy Robot writes, ACMQ has an interview by Steve Bourne with Bruce Lindsay, who is responsible for a lot of the SQL and relational database management systems we use today. In the article, they discuss error detection and recovery. Cowboy Robot's favorite part of the article was the definition of Heisenbug, those problems that disappear only when you explicitly look for them.
Open source word of mouth advertising. An anonymous reader writes that plenty of corporations are willing to hire shills to generate buzz for a new product, but what people don't need to be paid to promote. Boston company Buzz Agent found that their volunteers promote products simply because it makes them feel good. The New York Times Magazine interviews several agents. The volunteers cite the feeling of being on the inside, sharing opinions with others, and enjoy feeling altruistic. Maybe Madison Avenue's figured out what open source developers knew all along.
David Rothman writes, Sunday's New York Times Book Review is carrying an upbeat article on ebooks, complete with mention of the New York Public Library's impressive 3,000 title efforts. The writer, however, misses many of the recent developments of e-bookdom, such as the debut of the $100 eBookWise 1150, a reborn Gemstar machine. And the DRM mess, and the horrors that consumers, publishers, and libraries face with conflicting proprietary formats, don't get the attention they deserve in this article. So far, the XML-related Open Reader project is invisible in the big media, even though major internet ebook retailers are quietly coming aboard. Still, it's great to see Times contributor Sarah Glazer being far more receptive to ebooks than our many journalists. For more information on ebooks, follow the links from Slashdot.
Samba 4 has reached the Susan stage. Superfebs writes that some days ago, Samba 4 reached a pretty serious test stage. It promises to be absolutely beautiful, full SMB protocol implementation, Active Directory domain controller facility, and more. There's a full roadmap linked on Slashdot.
Creative Commons can apply to materials other than music or images. Creative Commons licensing can be applied to browser plugins, lesson plans, or even processes for urban design. If you are a musician or artist, you can determine in advance and without intermediaries exactly how much or how little access another artist has to your work. Creative Commons is not public domain licensing, and you can preserve full commercial rights to your songs or performances. Learn more about Creative Commons licensing from the links available on slashdotreview.com.
To no one's surprise, broadband usage is up and television usage is down. JZNet writes that the BBC Tech News is reporting that the increased usage of broadband internet in Europe is cutting into the viewing of television. This is mainly due to the decreased price of broadband in Europe and the usefulness of the internet. It looks like the expansive internet has decreased the interest in TV, at least for a lot of people.
Unified Biometric Federal ID System. An anonymous reader writes into Slashdot, there have been rumors flying among the scientific community about a proposed standard for personal identity verification, PIV, by the National Institute for Standards and Technology. According to the standard, all federal employees and contractors would require a PIV card that is personalized with data needed by the PIV system to later grant access to the subscriber to federal facilities and information systems. Besides the likely efficacy questions, the scientific community is also concerned about what impact this will have on our foreign collaborations or even graduate students.
Another short item, U96 is writing that ever since the Gore claimed to have invented the internet, its history has been the subject of misinformation and ridicule. The Institute of Internet History contains an accurate, in-depth examination of the early industrial origins of the internet.
Portable Firefox and Thunderbird. RHLJ writes, for the road warrior on the go. If you have a laptop, desktop, and or work PC, keeping the information from Firefox and Thunderbird synced with each other is difficult, not to mention the extensions. But not anymore. John Haller has packaged both Firefox and Thunderbird into flash drive-friendly executables which can be run directly from a USB flash drive. Visit his site for more information by following the link from Slashdot.
Here's 12 Christmas gifts not to buy online. Nzingapu writes that while online shopping is booming this Christmas, niche products like two turtle doves purchased on the internet are becoming increasingly more expensive than their non-e-tailed counterparts. PNC Bank has updated their annual tongue-in-cheek economic analysis based on the cost of goods and services purchased by the True Love in the holiday classic 12 Days of Christmas. The analysis compares the cost of traditional goods against their cost throughout the past 20 years and against the price when purchased online. PNC concludes that most items are more expensive to buy over the internet, primarily due to the cost of shipping, and that the abundance of cheaper labor in countries such as India and China has resulted in pressure on U.S. manufacturers to outsource, even at Christmas time.
Infineon executives have pled guilty to price fixing. An anonymous reader writes, executives at Infineon Technologies have pled guilty to an international conspiracy to fix prices in the DRAM market. Heinrich Florian, Günther Hefner, Peter Schaefer, and T. Rudd Corwin, executives for Infineon Technologies, had a felony filed against them Friday in the U.S. District Court in San Francisco. Each executive could spend up to 6 months in prison and will have to pay a $250,000 fine. Under the plea agreement, they must also assist the government in its DRAM investigation. Infineon agreed in October to pay a $160 million fine for its role in the conspiracy, according to the Justice Department.
Meerkat writes that the BBC are reporting that a group of gamblers who won more than £1 million at the Ritz Casino by using laser technology have been told by police that they can keep their winnings. A laser scanner linked to a computer was allegedly used to gauge numbers likely to come up in the roulette wheel.
Last week in Slashdot covered memory problems with the Trio 650, and it looks like other issues are beginning to crop up as well. Koreth writes, Palm One's new Trio 650 smartphone is one of the season's most eagerly anticipated gadgets, but while it's a great device in a lot of ways, as a phone it stinks. To anyone listening on the other end, it sounds like I'm inside a cardboard box, and lots of other people are complaining about the same thing. No word yet from Palm One on this problem.
Roland Papau writes that I bet most of you have never heard of ARGO, an ambitious scientific project about the observation of our oceans. The project's endorsed by 18 countries and just reached a milestone. There are today more than 1,500 robotic floats reporting about salinity changes or predicting El Niño events, amongst others. The news release from University of California, San Diego, says that the ARGO floats, which are autonomous ocean-traveling robots, programmed to sink more than a mile below the ocean surface, are helping scientists all over the world to look at the future of our entire planet. And in 2007, when the deployment's completed, 3,000 underwater robots will help us to better understand the changes in our climate. There's pictures, details, and references all linked on Slashdot. Thanks for listening to Slashdot Review for Sunday, December 5th, 2004. I'm Andy McCaskey.
And I'm Annette Thompson, joining you from Washington, D.C.
We have no affiliation with Slashdot other than as regular readers and offer this material and other items of interest under the Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike license. Slashdot Review audio is published Monday through Friday and generally on Sundays. Today's featured album tracks from the GarageBand.com artist Stone Melodies. You can find more music from this artist at GarageBand.com by following the links on Slashdot Review.